Welcome to Bootstrap MD, the Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast, your source to help you, the entrepreneurial doctor, live life on your own terms. Get new ideas and inspiration to help you find more balance in your professional life. If you're ready to get the knowledge without all the hype, you've come to the right place. It's the Bootstrap MD Podcast. And now your host, Dr. Mike Wu Ming.
You've built a career helping others. Now it's about building something lasting for yourself and your family. Lightstone Direct connects you to private real estate investments designated to create lasting wealth. You've earned access. Take your seat at the table at lightstonedirect.com. All investments involve risk. Please visit lightstonedirect.com for a full list of disclosures. Hey guys, this is Dr. Mike Wu Ming. Welcome to another edition of Bootstrap MD, the podcast for physician, healthcare, and entrepreneurs. From time to time, I love to highlight physicians who are out there in the trenches making a difference, and especially those who may be going off the beaten path. You know, there are many of us who are employed physicians, but from circumstances or something that's happened, they go towards a different direction on their. And my guest here is no exception to that. He's a former general surgeon turned healthcare executive. He's a leadership strategist and now an author who brings a rare inside out perspective on modern medicine. After more than 25 years on the front lines, including a personal mental health crisis that reshaped his understanding of purpose, of resilience, he transitioned from the operating room into executive leadership, and he now serves as the president of Integris Health and Medical Group in Oklahoma City. He draws on lessons from surgery, surfing, we got to talk about that, and leading large physician organizations through constant disruption. Dr. Elner helps physicians and healthcare leaders navigate burnout, build sustainable careers, and lead effectively in times of chaos. He's the author of a book that just came out, we're going to get into, called Wipeout, Rise Up, A Practical and Deeply Human Guide to Leadership, Grit, and Redefining Success in Medicine. I want to welcome to the program Dr. Scott Elner. Thank you for sharing your time with us today.
Great to be here, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We're going to talk about how much surfing you do in Oklahoma City in one moment. That's probably my most critical question. Now, if you guys have a chance, you got 15 minutes, I highly encourage you to search his TED Talk. Was it one TED Talk or you've done a number of TED Talks?
Yeah, it was actually a TEDx talk. They're really particular about how we monitor and protect those. It was a TEDx Mountain Avenue talk about anti-fragility and lessons learned from surgery and Grey's Anatomy.
Yes. So go reach out to that. I think it was very inspiring in terms of transparency. I mean, the first minute, as physicians, we're invincible. And you talked about something that happened with a patient that most physicians don't want to bring up and how it shaped you. So maybe we can discuss this. Maybe that's the best start. Maybe we'll talk about your upbringing. I know you're a California guy, or you've been in California. I'm not sure if you were from here. Talk about your path to becoming a physician. And yeah, we'll just take it from there.
Yeah. So I am a California guy. I grew up in a place called Calabasas, which is right outside LA, and grew up surfing Malibu a lot, particularly a place called Zuma Beach. So I loved the environment. I love that culture. I was at UCLA for my undergrad, and my father being an attorney, I was on this path to become an environmental lawyer. I wanted to save the planet. At 21, you have those kind of ideals. And medicine wasn't really on my radar. Part of this story is in my book. I had a pivotal moment in my life that really changed my perspective. At a young age where you're just trying to figure things out, I was surfing in a very nice summer day at the beach, crowded. Pacific Coast Highway was just brimming with, you know, people cruising up and down. As I was walking back from my surf session, my truck, I heard this awful screeching sound of metal. And then this presence roll up onto the back of my legs, pinning me against my truck. I looked down and it was a man who had unfortunately been hit head on by a car that crossed over the double yellow lines. He was in bad shape, really bad shape, clearly in hemorrhagic shock, which I didn't know at the time. He had tattoos and they were fading in the sunlight. Greenish tinted blood coming from his ears, traumatic brain injury. And I didn't know what to do. I just paused, kneeled down and held his hand, which was awkwardly up, pointed up to the sky, and he was unconscious. Next thing I know, this car pulls over on the side of the road and this woman comes out very calm, composed, and she had grabbed a lifeguard's tray and intubated him right there in the middle of the highway, saved his life. Turns out she was a trauma surgeon. And that, just seeing that, seeing how this person was able to manage the frailty of life in such a dire situation really inspired me to change course, go to medical school, and eventually I went on to become a trauma surgeon.
Wow, that's amazing. So you're a trauma surgeon. And where did you primarily practice?
After I finished my training at UC San Diego, I went out to University of Connecticut, and there's a consortium of hospitals out there. And so I practice out in the Hartford area of Connecticut, so New England, which was awesome for a California guy like me getting exposed to a way different culture, plus cold winters, but beautiful fall leaves. It was a great time. And I really enjoyed my experience out in New England.
Now, you've been open about facing a mental health crisis early in your career. If you want to get into it, or just looking back, how did that experience shape the kind of leader that you are today?
I'll just say, first off, we need to talk about mental health like we do physical health. It's really important that we ensure that we're caring for how we view things. You know, every day brings us stressors, especially in healthcare. We deal with stressors probably more than anyone else in any other industry. And so what you're referring to, I had one of those nights where you just feel like, why am I doing this? What's my purpose? Feeling a sense of loss, frustration, cynicism. You know, a lot of the feelings many of us have felt when we deal with burnout. And I was on call dealing with a difficult patient. I had to go to the OR for something I felt was completely preventable, but this patient did what they did. And then I get a call from my fiance right before I'm about to go to the OR and says, you know, it's not working out. You don't have time for me. And, you know, it just felt like things were just crashing around me. And it's life, it's adversity. But I didn't realize that at the time. All I could feel was just this weight. And I had real feelings of maybe I should just end it. What's the point? And fortunately, I had someone reach out to me at the right time who cared about me, who got me excited about something totally different from what I was focusing on at that moment in that dark place. And it brought me out of it. But knowing that there's always that potential, I've worked very hard on managing through these emotions. If they ever feel like they're creeping up, I really practice a lot of meditation and mindfulness, which has been very helpful for me.
Yeah, I do the same every morning, even when I don't want to or I'm busy and I know like I'm trying to put out 10 fires. By the time 8 o'clock turns around and we're getting these calls, I run a practice and nurses call, et cetera. At least at 5 or 5:30 in the morning, I'm an early bird. That's my time to just feel about, have gratitude. What is my purpose on here? Thank you for being transparent and thank you for sharing. I know you go a lot of this into the book, which I think would be very helpful for other physicians who may be having similar challenges. How did that reflect on your career as a surgeon?
A lot of empathy. There are going to be times when things don't go right in your career, where you may have an outcome that leads to a complication. I have had moments where you start to question, are you good enough? What if you get called a peer review, or you know, you're called out at morbidity and mortality conference. How do you manage through those feelings of shame, guilt? You know, historically, I don't know if this happens as much in residency anymore, but it was pretty rough back when we trained, when, you know, you were pimped in front of your peers. You were sometimes made to look stupid, yelled at. And so I really worked on becoming a better person, a better leader, a better physician. And that's my goal. My purpose is not just to be a good surgeon, not to be just a good leader, but a good person. And so that's always leading with empathy, presuming good intent. If somebody does something harmful or wrong to me, I ask questions first. Or if they act badly, maybe something's going on in their life that I don't know, and that's why they're acting the way they do. It's hard, right? Because a lot of times we want to respond, or we want to react, not respond. But I really try to take that time to just think first.
Right. Oftentimes, for a lot of us, the buck stops with us, right? So if there is an issue or a complication, we have to be accountable. And you discuss about anti-fragility, and we can delve into this. Especially, you know, I assume you're kind of similar with me. The resources that they have now, like burnout wasn't a word. It was just like, you just suck it up. You just put more work into it. You just take more call and more demands in there. And if burnout means you are less of a physician, right? I mean, that was the mentality, or at least as I perceive the mentality that most of us had, I guess, back in the day. I don't know if you've had something similar to that, but that's what, unfortunately, my training was a lot of that, was that you weren't working as hard as the others.
Yeah, I didn't really know about the term burnout until after I was already practicing as an attending physician. And, you know, it makes sense. It's how our culture was developed through the social transformation of healthcare in America. It wasn't until recently, even before COVID, the notion of resilience, and I'll call it resilience 2.0, really came to my mind. Resilience 2.0 is another term for anti-fragility, which I give the description. Resilience is you get knocked down, you get right back at it. Anti-fragility or resilience 2.0 is when you get knocked down, we experience adversity, and then we step back, we say, wait a minute, what can I learn from this? How can I be better? And then you get back at it. So stress, volatility, chaos, the things that are going to impact us that through change, how can you become more hardy? And that's anti-fragility. So I really like that term, or resilience 2.0. And that's really helped me. And when I talk to the younger generation of physicians coming through, I want them to know that, you know, if anything, embrace the chaos. You're going to be better for it, because it's always going to be there no matter what. Healthcare is going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. And you chose this path, and you got to figure out, is there another path, maybe within healthcare or outside of healthcare, but embrace it.
Running an independent practice has never been harder, especially with rising health insurance costs. That's why a physician created Rise Health, premium health insurance built exclusively for independent doctors, their employees, and their families with cost savings. Take control of your practice and protect the people who matter most. Get your quote today at risehealth.com. That's R-Y-Z-E health.com. And stay connected. Follow at rise.health on Instagram, and also find them on LinkedIn at Rise Health.
So you chose an interesting path. You went from being a general surgeon. Now you're the president of a very large physician group. Was there a moment you realized that maybe staying purely clinical was not the right path for you, or you wanted to do something different? What kind of led you to that destination?
I never really understood leadership and the importance of leadership, nor did I understand how difficult leadership really can be. I was thrust into my interest in leadership because of my passion for patient safety and then quality. I was getting really involved with looking at outcomes. And from there, I realized that to change behavior, to modify or influence people's actions, you needed leadership. You can't just tell people, hey, you got to do this differently. You got to go on the ERAS protocol. You got to use this medication now, especially physicians. The interaction with working with physicians who are very intelligent, top 1% achievers, you've got to be able to influence differently. And so that led me into leadership. Ultimately, I went back, got more training, and you can become a better leader. You're not born that way, just like you can become better at emotional intelligence. And eventually, I was asked to do more and more, get involved with committees, running our surgery service line, running the medical group. And then at some point, I said, okay, I've done about 10,000 operations. I love operating, but I can't be two places at once. It's not fair to the patient. And so I made that decision and ultimately flipped over. Now, I do go to the OR and hang out and watch and observe because I do miss the clinical part, but I love what I do as a leader and the impact I can make.
So for physicians who are considering leadership roles, you said we're not born to be leaders, but we can become leaders. What capabilities do you think they should start building now? Maybe that we didn't get in medical school.
Let me preface that by saying, don't go into leadership because you're burnt out, because you'll be burnt out in leadership. The capabilities from leadership are to be an effective communicator. And one of the best ways to gain influence is to be an active listener. Ask questions. You know, we talked a little bit about reacting versus responding. When a situation happens, you want to give people the benefit of the doubt. And if you ask the appropriate questions and give them a chance to explain what's going on, you'll usually find that it wasn't necessarily their fault alone. It was a systems issue. And I think a very powerful way to gain influence is to build that trust. So you've got to be able to effectively communicate, build trust, show empathy, and be humble.
I love that. I want to change gears just a bit because before we came on the call, we discussed my audience and many of them are investors, entrepreneurs. And you said you've had some experiences in the VC route. Why don't you tell me more about that?
Yeah, you know, what's really exciting about healthcare is there's always the innovation that's out there. And it was very clear to me as a leader, I was actually the CEO of a health system at the time, and I was exposed to opportunities through strategic partnerships with venture capital firm. And, you know, you kind of, I don't want to say imposter, but I was pretending like I knew what was going on, right? It's a totally different world. And as physicians, you know, we're not really taught the business acumen to understand things like startups or, you know, if you do have a great idea, how do you get funding? And I made the decision because I had this gap in my knowledge to spend about 6 months as an executive in residence. And it wasn't like residency as we know it. It was a little more involved with the VC side of things, learning how to do a pitch, going to pitches, seeing other companies bring their ideas and try to secure funding, which is incredibly difficult. Probably of the hundreds of pitches I saw, maybe one or two would get funding. And that experience gave me insight from the other side, from the VC world of, okay, what are people looking for if they really want to get into a health system and make an impact with their new AI product? How can you give an effective pitch? And I will tell you, it's all about exit strategy with venture capital.
They want to get in, get out.
Get in, get out, and make profit.
Make a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, in healthcare, you know, what I had also shared being part of that was our health systems, they're always going to be somewhat apprehensive about this new thing coming on. And so I also was able to provide guidance on, well, you probably want to approach this person, or you want to get buy-in from maybe the chief medical officer who's going to influence the physicians. It was a great experience to kind of go back and forth on both sides.
We're talking with Dr. Scott Ellner. He is the author of the book, Wipeout, Rise Up. Chronicles his journey, the mental health struggles that physicians face, what it actually takes to pivot from clinical work to leadership, and the practical strategies he uses to navigate that transition while maintaining a sense of purpose. Why did you write the book?
I really wasn't planning on writing a book until in my last leadership role. I took some time off. It was after COVID. You know, a lot was going on. Healthcare seemed to be in this chaotic trend. And I wanted to reflect on where I was in my life. So I used this time almost like a sabbatical, if you will, to just reflect on, oh, these are the experiences I've felt. And I was journaling. And then I started writing for another podcast out there. I think many of the physicians go to writing some articles. And then I was approached by a publisher and they said, hey, you know what? You might have some content for a book. And I'm like, well, I wasn't really thinking about that. And then they said, no, send an outline. Just send an outline. I did. And then as I was working through it with my editor, they came up with the idea, because I talked about surfing, that surfing could be a really great metaphor for the trials and tribulations of doing things that are uncomfortable. Because surfing is a sport, like any sport, but it can be uncomfortable. Paddling out into cold water, you have to wear a wetsuit, the conditions. And so I wrote the book, not so much because I always wanted to write a book, but just to share some of my lessons.
Now, one thing that kind of resonated with the book, and it's something that I see with my own clients when they're physicians, they may or may not be burnt out, but they're looking to do something different. But then they come to me and says, I don't know what else to do. All I know is be a physician. And you talk about the importance of purpose, that it doesn't have to disappear when you're signing to do something non-clinical. Could you expand on that? The importance of purpose and what you felt and how that changed? Because I'm sure you may have had similar feelings that many other physicians have out there.
Yeah, I know what you're referring to and why purpose is so important. Somebody told me recently that they asked me, actually, what's the number one addiction right now? And, you know, all these things go through my head, you know, substance abuse. And I said, I don't know. And he said, identity. People are obsessed with their identity. You see it on social media. You see it with likes and influencers. I realized that my identity was wrapped up in who I was as a physician or a surgeon. And in order to move away from that, I had to really reflect on, well, what is my purpose? My purpose wasn't to necessarily operate on people. Yes, it was to make an impact and make them better, but it was to be a good person, to find ways to contribute and to do some things that really fulfilled my passion. And my purpose is to, what intimidates me, motivates me. That's my passion. And so that's how I find purpose.
I love it. It's that quote that Eleanor Roosevelt says, you know, do something every single day that you're scared of. And that's easier said than done. So I love that. This has been really illuminating. I wish we could discuss more. What's the best way if someone wanted to learn more about you and your work? Obviously, you have your book that's come out that you can pick up. Where can they go out and find more information about what you're doing in terms of leadership? I know you're working with other physicians. What's the best place to go to?
You have a website, drscottelner.com. Two L's, E-L-L-N-E-R. And then I am also a senior advisor with Major Futures. It's a company that we work through leadership opportunities. And then, of course, my book is on Amazon, and it is in a Kindle edition. I have not done the audio version.
You got to do it.
That's what I hear. But yeah, Wipe Out, Rise Up. And it's a surf session in pushing past limits. Leadership lessons and sustaining health.
Scott, this has been very eye-opening, and thank you for just sharing your story. I know it's going to be very beneficial. Yeah, please reach out. Scott, pick up his book, Wipe Out, Rise Up, A Practical and Deeply Human Guide to Leadership, Grit, and Redefining Success in Medicine. Is any last minute thoughts before we end the call today that you'd like to share with our audience?
I think just to fall back on the discussion we had with mental health, you know, if you're ever concerned about someone, you know, the best thing to do is just reach out to them. If they seem off, I think that's something that really impacted me when I had somebody who cared about me reach out to me. So it never hurts to just say, hey, are you doing okay?
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much. And Scott, thank you for coming on to the call today. And thank you for listening. As always, as physicians, we're going to have our ups and downs. Do something a little each day to get you closer to your goals and keep moving forward.
You've just listened to the Bootstrap MD podcast. For more valuable resources, as well as past recordings of our show, check out our website at bootstrapmd.com. Now let's get to work.